I'd like to say Happy Mother's Day to everyone. Thank you for being a part of worship today. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. And the way that we do that, there are pew pads on the inside out of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information and check the correct boxes. Then send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once it gets to that last person, once you're done, if you could send it back to where it got started, we do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, and that'll help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. A few announcements we'll make. Reminder, we do have opportunities for the week and upcoming events listed in the bulletin, several things that are happening. We are having children's time today. We write down here just a little bit later in the service. No evening activities tonight in honor of Mother's Day. Nothing happening tonight, but regular schedule this week. Do want to make note, after forgetting for two straight weeks, I'm not going to forget this week, Jeremy. The Recreation Committee would like your input on things that will be happening in the gym, what you'd like to see happening. There is a survey that's on the Welcome Center desk. We'd love for you to go by and to fill that out. If you want to do it online, it's available on the website as well. We appreciate any input that you can give to the Recreation Committee as they continue their work in preparing for the new gym. Also, we have a dinner and a show announcement. Come on, ladies.
Good morning. Good morning. All right, I got a question for you. What does a tornado and a redneck divorce have in common? All right, nobody? Someone's going to lose a trailer. That's a knee slapper.
Well, if you like that, you're going to love Dinner and a Show. It's next Saturday night and Sunday at 12:30. Tickets are on sale now for $20.
It's going to be an amazing all-you-can-eat family-style country dinner. There's going to be fried chicken, pot roast, cornbread, green beans and corn, sugar glazed carrots, mashed taters and gravy, apple cobbler, and banana pudding.
There'll also be a great variety show with music, dancing, jokes, and skits. It's sure to be unforgettable. You can see any of the youth to buy your tickets or visit the ticket table today. There'll be free child care provided for infants through 12-year-olds, and we take cash, check, or credit card. It's going to be a great event, and we hope you all come.
And one more for the road. You might be a redneck if you go to the dump and return with more stuff than you took.
Good one, Claude.
Thank you.
Yeah. Claudia, your dad laughed at that joke. Okay. Down home country, it's going to be a great event. Any of you ever remember Hee Haw? I don't, but I heard there was a thing called Hee Haw. But there's a Hee Haw type of thing that several things that our youth are putting together. So it's going to be a great, great event. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. You gave us your information a moment ago on the pew pad, and we appreciate that. If you're a guest, we just ask you where you are just to raise your hand, and the ushers will recognize you, and they will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, you'll find a little bit of history or the story of College Park and a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. So thank you for being a part of worship today. It is Mother's Day, and as has become our custom over the last several years, we recognize mothers and all ladies in our church who give and give and give. And I think about it. This morning I was in the 9 o'clock service, and I saw a lady who was not the mother of a child. The mom had to take care of another child. This lady picked up another one of the children and took care of them while the mom was taking care of her other children. That's the kind of church that we have. People that take care of people. As we think about how moms have taken care of us, all the ladies in our lives, I am thankful that we serve a God who provides us exactly what we need when we need it. A mother's love, a hug, a slap on the back. This morning, we get to give back to God what He has already given to us, our very lives. Let us prepare for worship. Pray with me. Father, we do sing with our lives that glorious is your name. We thank you for all the ways that you have blessed us. We thank you for who you are, a loving and giving God, powerful and mighty, everlasting. Father, we thank you for this moment that we come to worship you with fellow believers. As we celebrate Mother's Day, we thank you for how you have nurtured us, how you have cared for us, how you have picked us up when we have fallen, wiped away the dirt and wiped away the blood and the sweat and cleaned us up. And so we come to say thank you. We invite you into this place, needing to be near you, needing to hear from you. Be in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
going to ask if you would be seated. We have a very special day today. It's one of those services that I always look forward to because we get to meet some new people. And this morning we want to introduce to you three people that have been a part of our congregation life, some for just a few months, others for a couple of years or more. And London, we are delighted that you're here with us this morning. I like your dress. Did your daddy make that for you? No? Okay. All right. And then Bennett. Bennett is asleep, and that's probably a good thing, Mom. Okay. And Whit, down on the end, how are you, buddy? Good to see you. All right. I want to read a couple passages of Scripture to you. And Mary and I always have this discussion about, do we want to change it up? Should we read something different? And we decide every year, no. Those are the ones we want to read because they really speak to us and speak to the heart of what we do in community life with these children. The first passage is from Psalm 127. It says, "Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies at the gate." Children truly are a blessing from the Father. And then from Mark chapter 10, there's a story that I'm sure most of us have heard. But we like to be reminded of that. In chapter 10 from Mark, the Gospel of Mark, it says, "People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And he said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.' And he took the children in his arms, and he put his hands on them, and he blessed them." I want to invite you to be a part of a covenant with these parents. And in your order of service, there is a covenant of dedication that I'd like for us to read. You got the dress now. You got it in the mouth. "We are here today to present these children to the church and to consecrate them to God. Who brings these children for this holy purpose? What do we affirm about these children?
We affirm that each one is made in the image of God, and it is a child of God by creation, that each is loved and will be included in the experiences of this congregation, that they are God's gifts to us, to whom we take delight."
As these infants grow into childhood, what will we tell them about their heritage?
We will tell them about God, who created the world, about Moses, who led our ancestors out of bondage, about Ruth's example of faithfulness, and about the prophets who spoke courageously for God against the superficial values of their day. We will tell them about Jesus the Christ, in whom salvation is offered, about the woman at the well who experienced God's healing grace, about the apostles who grew beyond comfort and familiarity as they sought to follow Jesus, and about the worship and mission of the church. What will we hope for in these children? We will look to the day when these children will gather with us at the Lord's table, when each one will declare faith in Jesus the Christ, confirm the heritage which we will pass along, and come as an adult to choose full commitment to God's will and work. Do you, as the parents of these children, assume your primary responsibility for keeping them in touch with such hopes and expectations? And do you, the congregation, pledge to work toward creating a nurturing Christian environment for these children? Yes, we do, for they belong to us. Then may God be with us and help us. Amen. We want to present to each a Bible and certificate for London. This is, Dad, you can hang on to that. Big brother's here. Want to help out, right? Okay, all right. And for Bennett, big brother, you want to hold on to that?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. For Bennett, he's still asleep. Dad. Congratulations, buddy. And Whit, last year, we dedicated your little brother, didn't we? We sure did. But it was Pastor Raymond's fault. I didn't even think about you. And so this year, it's your special day, isn't it? We're dedicating you, and we're going to let you hold your own Bible and certificate there, okay? All right, let's have a word of prayer together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the blessings of children. We thank you for the blessing of family and what that means to us, not just biological, but Father, a spiritual family and the support and the love that we gain from that. Father, we pray that you'd be with these parents as they train up their children in knowledge of who you are and how much you love them. God, we pray that as the family, the body, that we would be there to encourage and to help these families continue to grow, these children continue to grow in their knowledge of who you are. God, we love you. We thank you for this special day, this special time of commitment. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Chris brought out the songs. There. All right. It's just a few years ago, y'all were that big. Just a few years ago. Do you remember being that big? Anybody remember being that big? No. Just a few years ago. I have a question for you. No? A teacher asked some second graders some questions about mom. Okay? And I want to hear some of their response. Okay? So, here's a question. Why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? Okay? That's a question. Here are some answers. Number one, we're related. Okay? Number two, God knew she likes me a lot more than other moms like me. Okay? Let's see. What kind of little girl was your mom? Number one, my mom has always been my mom and none of that other stuff. Number two, I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess would be pretty awesome. Okay? Number three, they say she used to be nice. Okay? Here's another question. What did mom need to know about dad before she married him? Answer number one, his last name. Number two, she had to know his background. Like, is he a crook? Does he get drunk on beer? That's a natural answer. Number three, does he make at least $800 a year? Did he say no to drugs and yes to chores? That's pretty good. All right? Last one. All right, here's the last one. Why did God make mothers? Number one, she's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. Number two, mostly to clean the house. Yes. And number three, to help us out of there when we were getting born. Think about it, all right? But here, why did God make moms? I want you to listen to this verse. The woman to be admired and praised is the woman who fears and respects God. You know why God gave you your mom?
No.
And all these ladies in our church? Because they love God. They respect God. And they want to teach us about Jesus. They do all kinds of great stuff for us, like cook and clean. Take us fun places. But the greatest thing that our moms could ever do, any of our ladies could ever do, is to tell us and show us how much God loves us. That's why I'm thankful for all the moms that are here today, for all the ladies that are here today. They have to put up with us, put up with the dads, put up with all the stuff that they got to do at the house. But we've got some great, great ladies who love God and want to teach us about it. That's why I'm thankful. What we're going to do is we're going to show all the ladies in our church when they leave the sanctuary today, we're going to give them, Caleb, you want to stand up? You've got a sample of our flower. Yeah, Caleb's got one of these flowers that he's wearing. They're going to get one of these. We want to say thank you and how much we love you. We're grateful for how God uses you to change us. Let's pray together.
Pray. God, we love you, and we thank you for all the moms, all the grandmoms, all the Sunday school teachers, all the neighbors, all the ladies that are in our life that show us you. It says in your word, you are what a true woman fears and loves. And when we trust in them and what they teach us, we are so much better. Thank you for that. Thank you for their gift of their love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Back to your seats.
How sweet. But we don't always know where the scotch tape is. That's wonderful. It's good to see the radiant mothers out there today and the ones who are visiting today. Would you please join me as we go to God in prayer? Lord, on this day when we celebrate parenthood, we celebrate the moms and also the dads who make that place in our lives for us, who have been there for us, through our ups and downs, our scrapes with band-aids and kisses and hugs. We thank you, Father, for all the good that is symbolized in a mother. For truly you yourself in the psalm called yourself a mother hen, that you are like a mother hen who spreads your wings to protect and nurture your children. So we thank you for that beautiful image. Mother's Day for some is painful, for there are those who have lost a mom in recent years. There are those who've lost a wife who was a wonderful mother in recent years. But we know that even now, in the presence of people who love them here at this church, you are ministering to them through the power of your sweet spirit. And you are the ultimate mother hen, wrapping them up, holding them close, and loving them. And Father, for all those who nurtured us, some of us were brought up perhaps by aunts and uncles or a family friend, but there was someone who especially nurtured each of us through our years, who symbolized your unconditional love. And for that, we praise you. And help us never underestimate the power of a loving and nurturing church family on all children and all teenagers, and even on each of us. Thank you so much for the love that's almost tangible in this congregation for each other. And thank you for helping us and giving us the strength and courage to step out and nurture each other. So challenge us this day to be parents, brothers, and sisters, and family to each other on this wonderful day. And we especially ask your blessing upon those dedicated to you today. Remind us to pray for them, to support them, to love them. Thank you, Lord, for this day of worship. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Please join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, it is truly a blessing to be gathered here in your name today. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful morning. And Lord, we especially thank you for this day that has been set aside to honor our mothers. Lord, we just thank you for the gift of mothers, those who were willing to love us when we were unlovable, and those who disciplined us when we needed discipline, and just molded us into what we've become. And Lord, as we think about the mothers, they remind us so much of you and what you've done in our lives. Lord, we thank you for loving us when we're not lovable, for accepting us for who we are, for always being there, ready to forgive us when we've done wrong, and continuing to love us no matter what. And Lord, we thank you for all the material blessings you've given us as well, and we thank you for the opportunity we have to give back to you. And Lord, we pray that you would accept these offerings and use them to further your work in our community and in our world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Kimmy and I are going to be singing a song called The Prayer this morning, and as it is Mother's Day, I was looking at the words, and it says, I pray you'll be our eyes and watch us where we go and help us to be wise in times when we don't know. But for me, when I think of my mom, and I'm sure a lot of you when you think of your mother, it would go a little more something like this. I pray you'll be their eyes to watch them where they go and help them to be wise in times when they don't know. Because our mothers so often are thinking about their children and about others as opposed to themselves.
Jeremy had asked me to do Kimmy's part today, but my allergies flared up a little. Just couldn't get it done today, but maybe next time, Brother William. We'll get together on that. Beautiful. Beautiful job, buddy. A lot of people, I think, believe that Mother's Day was created by greedy greeting card companies like Hallmark just so they could sell a bunch of cards. Or maybe by florists so they could sell a bunch of flowers. I think people honestly believe that. But we are going to dispel that urban legend this morning once and for all. That is not the case. According to the website 123holiday.net, there's others, but this they had a cool name, so I thought I would quote it. In the United States, Mother's Day started nearly 150 years ago, the movement for that. Anna Jarvis, who was an Appalachian homemaker, organized the day to raise awareness of the poor health conditions in her community. It was a cause that she firmly believed in, and she firmly believed that it would be best advocated by mothers. She called it Mother's Work Day. And I'm thinking, how does that distinguish it from any other day? I mean, let's be honest. All right, that's what she called it. In 1905, when she died, Anna Jarvis died, her daughter, who was also named Anna, began a campaign to memorialize the life work of her mother. All that she had done in terms of raising awareness of the poor health conditions in their community there. Legend had it that at a young age, Anna had remembered a Sunday school lesson that her mother taught. In that lesson, she remembered her mother saying, "I hope and pray that someone sometime will found a memorial Mother's Day. There are many days for men, but none for mothers." So Anna began to lobby prominent businessmen like John Wanamaker and politicians, including Presidents Taft and Roosevelt, to support this campaign to create a special day to honor mothers. At one of the first services organized to celebrate Anna's mother in 1908 there at her church in West Virginia, Anna handed out her mother's favorite flower, which was, anyone? A carnation? What color? White. A white carnation. Indeed, we will be handing out pink this morning, but they handed out white carnations. 5 years later, the House of Representatives adopted a resolution calling for officials of the federal government to wear white carnations on Mother's Day. And in 1914, Anna's hard work paid off when Woodrow Wilson signed a bill recognizing Mother's Day as a national holiday. Now, when Mother's Day first began, people would write, you know, simple, well-meaning notes of appreciation to their mothers. But as it evolved, or some would say devolved, it became very commercialized, as things tend to do. And Jarvis, she became very disgruntled by this. And in the 1920s, as the day became more and more commercialized, she filed a lawsuit to try to get the day removed from the calendar. So she spent all that energy trying to get it on the calendar and then in the 20s tried to get it off of the calendar. And most people can relate to that sentiment, I'm sure. You don't want to see something you know and love and respect like our moms become over-commercialized. But still, above all people, mothers deserve recognition. I believe that. Sincere expressions of appreciation. I believe that. Because they are indeed a very special breed. And all the children say, amen. The poet William Ross Wallace once wrote in a poem, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." The sentiment expressed there, I really don't need to elaborate on. So with all of this helpful background material, we won't call it trivia because that would imply it's trivial, and it's not. With all of this helpful background material, I want us to go back. I want us to go back to Advent. Because in Advent, I hope you will recall that I preached a sermon about Mary's pondering. Do you remember that? Mary's pondering, and what did that mean? Mary's deep reflections about what was soon to happen in her life and what ultimately did happen as she gave birth to our Lord and Savior. So I want us to backtrack a little bit and see kind of some of the things that Mary was dealing with during this time, and then learn from that a little bit more about our mothers. The first passage of scripture I want to read to you is from Luke chapter 1. We'll be in Luke chapter 1 and 2, so if you want to turn in your Bible there, we'll be referencing just a few passages here and there from these two chapters. Luke chapter 1, you'll recall that in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26, that God sent an angel, sent Gabriel to Nazareth, and there he had a mission. He had a mission. He went to Mary. And we read that he had a message for her. And in verse 28, we read, the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." In verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Isn't that an interesting? I mean, the angel hadn't told while he's there. He basically just kind of complimented her. He said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary is troubled by that. And what I glean from that is a mother always wants to know the details. Why are you here? What's going on? What's happening? A mother wants to know the details. And if, as a man, you will allow me to make this observation, this was Mary already demonstrating her aptitude as a soon-to-be mother. Even though the angel Gabriel was sent by God with this astounding news, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you." The Bible also says in verse 29 that the New American Standard Translation reads, she was very perplexed. She was perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. She's pondering, why is the angel here? What has he got to say, and why? Granted, she had to be overwhelmed a little bit at the proposition, but like all mothers, she wanted details because she cared more than we can possibly understand about what was getting ready to happen. Second thing I want us to glean a little bit later in this same chapter, verse 39, I want us to note that a mother understands what a father may never comprehend. And you're saying that may be the biggest understatement of the century. A mother understands what a father may never comprehend. And she kind of lays this out, verse 39 and following, through down through verse 45. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Now, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." A mother understands what a father may never comprehend. You've heard of Morse code. This is mama code, okay? Mary goes to Elizabeth, the soon-to-be mother of John the Baptist, that's right. And scripture says, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. Apparently, without Mary saying much more than just a simple greeting, Elizabeth spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" The key is that both women believed that there would be a fulfillment of those things which were told to Mary from the Lord. They believed that. Most men really aren't wired up to kind of catch these subtleties, but they got it. The third thing I want to say, not as a gleaning from scripture so much as a personal opinion, is that mothers just rule. I mean, they really do. Mothers have a special part in our life. And I want to go back to a verse that we read back in Advent. It's a well-known verse. And it's after all that has happened there. after Jesus had been born, everything had gone on that we know, the shepherds and the angels and all of that has occurred. And in verse 19, we see kind of all this kind of come to kind of close, at least this chapter. It says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary treasured all of these things and pondered them. This is a lady who had just gone through the pain of childbirth, and she's pondering. She is a special breed. Mothers are a special breed. Mary pondered because that's what moms do. They ponder. They remember. They remember all the first. They remember the first cry, the first smile, the first tooth, the first steps, the first day of school, the first date, all of these things. And I'm being a little bit facetious when I say dads sometimes can't even tell you what day of the week it is, let alone the child's first potty date, but mamas know that stuff. And they can spout it off to you. They know that stuff. And as bad as I hate to admit it, mothers sometimes are more intense and willing to develop their spiritual lives than fathers. And that really is sad to admit. But there are many mothers who are forced to fill the spiritual role of both mother and father. Let me tell you how I know this. I remember a study that was done by Search Institute. Search Institute does survey material and draws conclusions as it relates to American religious life and how it relates to us within church life as well. It was about 10 or 15 years ago, and it was done across denominational lines. And it was a measure of integrated faith. Let me explain integrated faith. There are disciplines of the faith. Your prayer time, Bible study reading, sharing your faith, encouraging others within the church as well as those who are not yet believers. All of these disciplines of the faith that we participate in, and integrated faith is a measure of how well those become a part of our everyday life. Not just something we do on Sunday. Not just something we do at home in the privacy of our own home, but how it's integrated into our everyday life. That is what they were trying to measure with this study about integrated faith. Now, I'm sad to say that the lowest level of integrated faith was in males about age 35 to 55. I'm still a little fuzzy on the exact numbers, but that's a good generalization, 35 to about 55. And the reason I remember those parameters is because very quickly, those of us who were ministers in this discussion that Merton Stroman was leading, we quickly became defensive. And so the men all start offering excuses for our brethren. We're saying, well, you know, but that is the peak time in terms of workload. That there's so much job pressure. There's so many things going on. We may not have as much time to develop our faith as, say, our wives. We also pointed to social things. Social things within our culture. Maybe as excuses, but Merton Stroman says, okay, guys, let me bring it home for you. Here's where I'm headed with this. Males, age 35 to 55-ish, lowest level of integrated faith among those surveyed. Let me ask you a question. What is the general demographics of the majority of your deacons or elders within your church? There was some groans in the room. My first thought, I can honestly say, my first thought is, boy, I'm glad we have some women deacons. It kind of raises the level there a little bit. But seriously, man, I know this is supposed to be a Mother's Day sermon, but I think the lesson here is that it's time for us to step up, provide the spiritual leadership in the home that God expects from us. Amen? It's time. For the sake of our discussion, I believe the key is that Mary pondered because she understood the spiritual magnitude of the moment that her baby boy was born. It was a deeply spiritual event, as it is every time that a child is born. She had the spiritual depth to appreciate what had just occurred in her life, in Joseph's life. So as I thought, how do I bring all this to a close? As we look at the pondering, as we look at what we have learned from the life of Mary, and how do we apply that? I found an acrostic. I want to close with this. I found an acrostic for mother. Kind of wraps it up. The M stands for memories and soft moments. Beautiful melodies. M-O-M, maker of memories. The O stands for unbelievable optimism. Labors in obscurity. Demonstrates obedience to God. Keeper of order. The T signifies quality time. Daily teaches life skills and treasure to her family. The H stands for eternal hope, a sense of humor, always helpful. The E demands excellence, energetic, empathetic, the picture of elegance. And the R, receptive, even to the dumbest ideas. Relational, always willing to talk and listen, and respected. I am so thankful to my mother for all that she sacrificed and continues to sacrifice for me. I'm thankful to the insights of the nature of mothers that Scripture gives us, both in Mary's life as well as other mothers that are in our Scriptures. I also acknowledge, as Krista has already mentioned, that there, for some of you, this may be a bittersweet day. Maybe you've lost your mom recently. I also acknowledge that there may be some here today who say, well, that's not the image I have of my mom. She really wasn't like that at all. Let me say to you, before God and with His help, we can break that cycle. We can help one another as we do what we do best at College Park, and that is care for all of our children here in this community of faith called College Park. Amen? Let's pray together and thank God for His gift. Dear Father, we thank You for the gift of our moms. We thank You for Your love that flows through us, that makes all of this work. God, we pray that as we remember and as we celebrate the gift that You've given us of our mothers, that we would realize that what they offer to us is something we should offer to everyone. That unconditional love, that acceptance, that encouragement, all the things that moms give us, Father, we should be about offering to our brothers and sisters in Christ as well as those that don't know You yet. God, we pray for Your help. We pray for Your guidance. We pray for Your strength as we seek to be the hands and feet of Christ, as we minister to one another. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you are not a believer yet, we use that phrase, not a believer yet, because we believe that every person has a place in their heart that only God can fill. And we want to extend an invitation to you. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is your day. I'm going to be standing here in just a moment, right down front. We're going to be singing. I'll be glad to speak with you about your relationship with Christ. If you're here today and you are a believer, but you're maybe not on track, you're not living with a high level of integrated faith, if you will, I'll be glad to speak with you. Certainly, you can pray right where you are and settle that with God, or I'll be glad to offer assistance and prayer if you would like that. And if you're here and you would like to be a part of this church family in an official capacity as a church member, there are a lot of ways that we accept members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. And whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Thank you. Let me tell you about a couple things that happened to Recreation Service this morning. Tammy and Zane McDowell, many of you know Tammy and her son Zane. They came this morning by statement of faith. So I hope that if you have a chance to see them maybe on Wednesday night or Sunday morning in passing, that you will say a word of encouragement to them. And also David Hodge and his daughter Paisley came requesting membership by transfer of a letter. So if you'll rejoice in all of these and encourage them, would you join me in saying amen? Amen? Fantastic. I hope that you will greet one another, encourage one another, greet and meet our guests that are with us today, and have a great week. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the gift of life that you give us and life eternal through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the chance to worship you. And we pray that what we have learned today would change our lives and others would see you through us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.